Hey there, Piss Freaks. Happy holidays. Thanks for listening. This is Tom Dekar. By the way, the audio won't sound this way for the rest of the episode. I just don't have my equipment on me for the intro. But I wanted to let you know we have some bonus episodes of the podcast available on Patreon. We have a new Stand By Your Band up, as well as a Girls Night, the old podcast featuring... on this episode, we've got Mike Cronin and Tim McLaughlin. It's a good time. We've got a bunch more episodes coming out on Patreon. That's patreon.com/standbyyourband. And if you're a New York piss freak, come see me and Tommy do Stand By Your Band live at Caroline's January 25th at 9:30 p.m. Without further ado, enjoy the episode. Thanks for listening.
Everybody, and welcome back for another edition of Stand By Your Band, the podcast where comedians defend music they like that other people don't seem to like so much. I am joined, of course, by Prince of Snarkness. I'm just going to stick with that one, Tommy McNamara.
Or for this episode, the Mighty Mighty Piss Freak.
That is Tommy McNamara you're hearing, and we are... joined by Mighty Mighty Boss Tone fan, Johnny Rosenberger.
Oh, that's... Hey, thank you for having me.
Johnny!
I don't know why I was surprised that it was going to be me.
Oh, I like that guy! That's we're glad to have you, bud. Thanks for coming, man.
Thank you so much for having me
through the weather.
Yeah, it's...
It's weathery,
pretty weathery
out
outside.
It's a little chilly.
Yeah.
We're shaking our little bones off out of there.
It's true.
You chilly? My socks were so wet all goddamn day yesterday. It ruins your whole day, having a wet sock.
Yeah.
Then we should invent a thing to keep your socks dry. Like an outer coating to your socks. Like a hard outer coating. They could protect your socks. But as for now, 2017.
You going to Shark Tank? Aren't we all sick of wearing just socks in the snow?
What about a hard sock protector?
One of my coworkers ties plastic bags around his shoes instead of just wearing boots.
And you work over at the homeless person store.
Sick riff. Got his ass.
You sell Streetwise. That would have been the riff to make.
The homeless person store? Tommy, you work at the jerk store.
I've donated to the homeless this year.
Did you?
I don't have Mary Houlihan's thing. Yeah.
Check that
out. Go to Mary Houlihan's Twitter. She's doing a great fundraiser for feeding homeless people.
Check that out. Former guest. She likes Rancid.
So if
you hate Rancid, really piss her off by taking from the homeless. That'll really irk her. Show her what's what. Johnny, you're here to talk about the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
Mm-hmm.
That ska shit.
Yeah.
What's your history with these boys? Is it all boys?
It is all boys.
Mm. How many people are in the Mighty Mighty? You know,
it's a lot, right? People complain that it's one too many.
At least eight.
Jesus.
But there's a guy who just dances.
Is he a skanker?
Yeah, well, he goes by the Boss Tone.
No.
And
it's nine.
It's nine
members.
Is Jesus that included? Christ.
I think it's including that guy.
So eight is fair.
Eight is enough.
I think... his name is Ben Carr, and I think that he was like their tour manager, but they weren't playing gigs where you needed a tour manager.
I know his kid, Ben Carr's son.
This is so great.
So they just snuck him in by being like, oh, he's actually in the band. And then that just became his role in the band.
Oh, wow.
Can I tell you, I didn't put together that Boss Tones... was a reference to Boston until just
you
now.
Didn't
I
put
swear
that
to God.
Together.
I swear to God, I didn't put it together until just now. I thought they were like, oh, we're Boss, dude. Like they're Springsteen fans.
I think it's like a double entendre there.
There you go.
Yeah
Tommy. Piece of shit.
Now this Flo Rida guy. How'd he figure that out?
Embarrassingly, it took me so long to figure that out.
To Flo Rida.
Is there a Mississippi?
That's good. You gotta do that.
Oh, I got a producer.
Oh yeah.
I gotta have a daughter so that I can make her into Mississippi.
It's weird that Mississippi like rolls off the tongue, and Mississippi is like the worst thing to say ever.
Maybe I could make it my wife, and she could be Mrs. Ippy.
That's even worse.
You don't like her?
Ippy.
I'd have to change my name to Ippy because my wife's gonna take my last name. As far as I'm concerned,
take my wife.
Johnny, what's your background with these? Like,
were you a ska man for
life?
I was like a metalhead.
Okay,
and then I kind of got into ska, and this they kind of bridge the gap a little more. They're like a harder edged ska band. And then actually,
certainly the singing is reminiscent of hardcore.
Singing is being very
growly voice. In fact, speaking of Mary Houlihan and Rancid and fuck the poor, that's what Tommy said. When I was listening to the Spoilist, the next song that came on, like when it connects you to the next type of music, was Rancid.
Oh yeah, that's
because and they both have growly voices.
Fan? I liked Rancid a lot. And then. I guess I had a very quick, like, heavy fandom of them, and then ever since then they've just been a band that I really enjoy listening to.
Yeah, I can't
cop to it. Like, I feel like I can't bring up the idea that it's like, yeah, I love the Boston.
Yeah. How old were you when this happened?
I got into this them when I was
tragic event.
Well, you should read Johnny's book, What Happened?
Like, well, I was 13, so 94.
Ah.
Okay.
Back in 94, they called me Chi-Town's Knobs. That's a common lyric.
What is that from?
I can do the next line.
Is that Kanye?
No, it's a common song.
Oh, I see.
Back in 94, they called me Chi-Town's Knobs. Now everybody knows I'm one of Chi-Town's gods.
Oh, I like that. That's a good lyric.
That is.
I'm going to check nice that out. A nice little couplet.
This is the good lyrics Tommy remembers section of the podcast.
That should be a segment.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, make us a little ditty for that. Good lyrics Tommy remembers
before the Alzheimer's starts.
He doesn't sing them. He just talks something. Have to appreciate the good writing.
So you're 13, you're a young burgeoning young man.
Almost 1 year away from being ready for sex.
This can't be the thing. This can't be our new thing. We already do piss.
We gotta have more things. We need things for the fans.
You grew up in New York City, right?
I was born in Massachusetts, and then I moved to New York when I was six.
Ah, where in Massachusetts?
Berkshire County, like the far west side.
Ah, western Mass.
Almost to Albany.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, like west.
Damn.
And then my mom got a job teaching at a college here.
Ah.
And my dad was a lawyer, so he just
So obviously there's a lot of lawyer jobs in there.
So then we moved here, and I didn't have a lot of friends at the time. So I was like, I guess it's a little bit later. I didn't have a lot of friends most of my
That's not the time marker.
So I was like, so then, like, I guess when I was in high school or, like, going into high school, I just tried to make music my personality.
Yeah. I did the same thing, of course. Yeah. I remember right when I was that age, I saw Mustard Plug live.
Mm.
And I was like, maybe I'll be a ska guy. Uh-huh. It just never really took, like, I never disliked it, but I never listened to it on my own. I think it's fun to see live, but
it's a lot of fun to see live. And in 94, I went to see Lollapalooza.
Oh, hell yeah.
And they were, like, an early
Boston's were on that?
The Boston's were on it, but they were like low build. So they were up at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
They were one of the daytime
which,
shots. Yeah.
Since my mom was taking me to Lollapalooza was the time that I was going to be at Lollapalooza.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I love this.
I haven't been to a festival in a couple of years, and you do kind of miss seeing people play during the day. Like, mm-hmm. It's fun. There's something, I mean, especially it's hard to picture ska not in like a dark room. You know what I mean? Where saxophones should be kept.
Saxophones should never be in the light. Bill Clinton even put it away. I feel like when I was a kid, when ska was big in its heyday, I felt
big
out of the
ska.
Loop. That's my favorite festival. Big ska. That's inside. Yeah, I feel like I thought it was too cool because it would be in movies and stuff. I remember specifically in Clueless it being a
boss
big part of it.
Were in Clueless.
Yeah, and I was like, this is what cool people listen to. I'll never get it. I'm a square.
I have a theory that the Boston's killed Brittany Murphy.
Oh,
hear
yeah,
me out.
I knew.
Both of them spotted on the set of Clueless. that's the end of the theory. But
I think that maybe that terrible sex scene she had with Eminem might have done it.
Ooh.
That's a bad sex scene. Although when I was a kid, I thought it was hot. But now I'm like, man, that's the worst sex anybody's ever had ever.
It was weird that he kept saying, you feel like mom spaghetti.
I'm nervous. Sorry. But I look calm and ready.
She's like, please stop talking.
Oh, God. It's funny, that sex scene, like, as a kid, you're like, oh, cool, it's the perfect amount of time for sex. Because it's, like, 8 seconds long. You're like, oh, sick, that's how long sex lasts. That's, like, good.
Like, I think I'm ready now.
Anytime a woman doesn't finish, you're like, well, Brittany Murphy enjoyed that amount of time. Are you better than Brittany Murphy?
Oh, man.
To paraphrase, paraphrase one of my favorite jokes by Chris Stevens, the comedian. He goes, Brittany Murphy, she's farther along in life than any of us. I mean, she's already dead.
That's so funny. let's get back to those Boston's. I keep launching us off into dangerous territory.
So the reason we had to have you on is you had a comment, a very interesting story about the Mighty Mighty Boston's
we really wanted to get
into. Oh, so without further ado, please tell us your AIM story.
Okay. So.
And perfect timing, too, with AIM being...
That's how it came
yesterday.
Up.
Yeah.
Much like Brittany Murphy.
Much like Brittany Murphy. It is dead. But much more recently than Brittany Murphy, unfortunately. Yeah. Rest in peace.
This one's
we're all pouring beer up.
And
Murphy's Law is you're dead.
Murphy's Law is what goes down stays in the ground.
All right, to the story.
So, as I was alluding to earlier, I didn't have a lot of friends, so I spent a lot of time online.
Yes.
And I spent a lot of time in Ska chat rooms.
Which I did not know existed.
Yeah. Probably the saddest sentence anybody could say. Just a lot of time.
That's where all the hot tail was, as far as I'm concerned.
I met, because you brought that up, and also because that's why I'm here, I met a girl through there, and...
So what's the chat? Do you remember what the name of the chat room was?
I think it was Save Ferris Fans.
Save Ferris Fans. Oh. Okay, yeah.
Not even Boston's fans.
Yeah.
But it just so happened that, like, when we were getting ready... We flirted online for like a couple months, and then when we were getting ready to meet in real life.
Do you go like, sorry to derail you, but is it like you're talking in the chat room with a bunch of people, and then you take it private?
To instant message.
I thought it was like a more or less crowded chat room.
Also, it was
like a band with less fans.
Yeah. Like,
it's too loud in here.
Why
Let's
are these
go
people
them.
Dating on our? I can't think of a shitty band.
So you took it to private chat.
We took it to private chat.
Do you remember your username?
Yeah, it was Rudy99102, because Rudy, like a rude boy. Like
a you're a rude boy.
Shit. Yeah, and I was going to graduate in 1999, and I lived on 102nd Street.
Wow. See, that does not... 992 would not come out of that for me.
No. Well, I put in Rudy, and then they offered me, like... Rudy 99101.
There was a lot of Rudy.
It's like, let's do one more.
Now, I know Rudy as the famous Notre Dame football player.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Well, this was spelled with an IE.
Who was 9 foot 92 inches.
His dick.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So it happens that it's right around the time of the 1997 Video Music Awards.
Of course. We all remember.
And the Boston's were playing... the pre-show on the marquee of the Radio City Music Hall.
Oh, shit. They were standing on top of the marquee?
Yeah.
What?
Wow.
It was awesome. But I was like, we should go to this.
That's so crazy. So you went.
What a weird
thing.
So
we went. That's the first time I ever met her.
Wow.
And, like, in hindsight, everybody's like, I'm shocked that was a woman, but like I'm like I was like in 97 I don't think anybody had not as many people had really realized the idea of catfishing yet.
It definitely wasn't a term.
Right.
I bet the first person to catfish was like, "Oh hell yeah." I'll just pretend to be a hot broad. Yeah, that's how I'll get these teen boys to jerk off with me.
So then we're hanging out and we're making out and stuff like that. And then she offers, she's like, "Do you want to come back with me to my apartment? My parents are gone."
Damn. So she lived in the city also?
Well, she lived in the Bronx.
Ooh.
Ooh. Well, she was very Puerto Rican.
Okay.
Yeah, that was not disclosed during chat.
How Puerto Rican.
that was not, I did not know that until I met her.
And you still went along with
it. Yeah, it was like fine.
So
yeah,
you did get catfished because you thought it was like a normal girl. I'm really sorry that happened to you, John.
So, okay, so you go to the concert. First of all, how's the concert?
Oh, it was great. They only played 4 songs, but it was wonderful.
So we got, obviously, we got Impression That I Get. Yeah. Is that the opener or the closer?
That was the closer.
Okay, makes sense. Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to guess open with, I'm on the Bieber playlist still.
Baby?
Yeah, they open with Baby.
Yeah, they put Baby, One Less Lonely Girl.
It's so funny because you said Video Music Awards. I was like, there's no way the fucking Mighty Mighty Boston's played the VMAs. And it's like, no, they played on top of a structure before it.
Yeah, before, of course. That's the only way they were going to get there. They're one of the few Saturday Night Live bands to only have one musical.
They only gave one.
Oh, shit.
So they didn't even get the Ladies and Gentlemen once again.
Yeah, no. They just played Impression That I Get, and they're like, well, let's throw a couple more sketches in there.
Yeah, let's do that. What was that sketch that bombed at Dress? Let's bring that back. Dress is industry talk for when they rehearse before
for that
the
gold
show.
And blue dress. They just showed that for 5 minutes.
So we go back to her place in the Bronx. And one thing leads to another.
Ooh,
and
yada, yada, yada.
And I ended up giving that young woman my virginity.
So because of the Mighty Mighty Boston's.
Mighty Mighty Boston's got me laid for the first time.
Hell yeah.
And that
yes.
is what ska music is all about.
All about. So.
Dude, the chain smokers got me laid for the first time.
Yeah, this year.
I have this one detail that's always so fresh stuck in my mind.
Yeah.
And it's, I'm so sorry about this. I'm really sorry. I love
the beginning of this.
She was not the cleanest lady.
Oh, God. Okay. Oh, my God, John.
When I went down on her, it smelled very distinctly of cheddar cheese popcorn.
That was the impression that you got.
That was the impression.
You ever eat cheddar cheese popcorn? Ever ladies pussy?
Bitch, I never had no cheddar cheese popcorn. Yeah.
Damn, what is that from?
That's a triple reference. That's Bernie Mac's Def Jam's.
I had never been around one before, so that's just what I assumed that all the drivers smelled like. And then whenever I would smell like. Whenever I'd be at like a party where my parents had like baskets of that out, I was just like,
"Excuse me,"
creeping around like a little weirdo. Like, I know what that is.
Hey, you like eat some cheddar cheese popcorn? Like, smell my fingers, Dad.
Hey, you're just nudging everyone.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this guy gets so it. Funny. This guy.
He knows what I'm talking about. That's amazing.
Oh, man. That is crazy. So did you stay with that lady? What happened?
We went out a few more times, and then it just didn't. It was not a good good idea. She was 4 years older than me, so she was 20, and I was 16.
Oh, wow. Shit.
So did she know that you were a virgin?
I don't think I told her till afterwards.
Ooh. Damn.
I was just like, I'm going to go with this. Yeah, I'm just going to ride this wave. And it was probably a poor decision.
I don't know. Do you think that's wrong? I don't know. I didn't tell the lady that I lost my virginity to until much later.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because I was like embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was like, I don't need anybody knowing my business. Not even the person who's taking it. I don't kiss and tell, even with the person I kiss. You shut your fucking mouth.
Keep my name out your mouth.
Oh, man.
That's so funny because ska is like the least romantic type of music that I could possibly think of.
Especially the impression that I get is about getting AIDS.
That's what, okay. So I've always heard that, but I didn't know it was, I didn't know if that was like a street rumor or if that's like, if that's the kind of thing you pick up at the homeless guy store.
Well, yeah. That's where I learned it.
I was going to say a street rumor. You're just walking down the street like, hey, pal. You know that song?
I'm wearing a trench coat.
You know that song from Clueless? Was this song in Tony Hawk? I feel like this band feels very Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to look it up.
I don't think they were, actually.
I'm good for now. They weren't?
I don't.
I think I might just be thinking of Clueless. And then that song, the impression I get, has been in so much, though. That song specifically has been in like a bunch of shit. It's insane. Mm-hmm.
The people who wrote the current theme song for America's Funniest Videos are on record as saying that they tried to get as close to the music for.
That's funny because people thought that it was. Yeah. They thought it was Mighty Boss Tones. I was thinking of Superman by Goldfinger, I think.
Yeah, that was going to be my guess, or probably something by Real Big Fish.
Yeah, that
makes
sense.
I had a tiny Real Big Fish phase. I liked that song Drunk Again. You remember that song? It's a great song. It's like 9 minutes long.
Yeah, this is what I was thinking
of. Oh, this is, yeah.
That is, I thought that was Mighty Boss Tones. Yeah. Mighty Boss Tones.
Yeah, but it's only got one horn. And it's just kind of trombone.
And no weird guy dancing around.
Did you ever see them again? Or was that the one concert experience?
I've seen them 8 times.
I mean, you don't want to jinx it after that.
And how many times
did
you have sex after?
Just the one.
1 for 8? Still not a bad.
1 for 8. Pretty good.
It was the only woman who's ever gone to see that band.
The last time I saw him is the day I decided that I was no longer a ska fan. And it's not their fault.
Oh,
it's
shit.
Not their fault.
The day the
what happened?
Cried.
I said they're playing with this.
Mr. American Ska.
They were playing with this band called Sick of It All, who is like a New York hardcore
band.
Hate
the name. I'm going to say that right now.
Yeah, not a great name. But they were Sick of It All was opening up for the Boston's. And I was like, no, I like this way better than I like that.
Interesting. You like the opener better than the headline.
Oh, much better.
Which is what happens when I feature for Tom.
I was son of a bitch. You sick fuck. I'm never bringing you over for me again.
No, please. Please, man. Come on.
Rosebud took your spot, bitch. Okay, let's listen to Jared's voicemail before I forget.
I'm so excited for this.
We teased it on the Rosebud episode if I didn't edit that out.
Is that how you're framing that?
Yeah.
Your fuck up is not the teaser.
Yeah. I'm a teaser, dude. Let's see here. Geraldo Tompler. Let's crank this bad boy up. These are our beautiful friend Jared Thompson's thoughts on the band The Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
What's up, y'all? So this week they went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. It's interesting because, much like Rancid, they were a band who, like when I was in high school and college, was like majorly hated by anyone that liked any sort of like quality punk, or in their case, the dreaded, maybe the worst combo of music in history, ska punk. Just typically despicable people normally listen to ska punk. That doesn't mean that you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, I'm not a bad person. And I like just saying the average person, it's like, can you find a nice Trump voter? Yeah, you probably can, but it just doesn't feel right to me. Anyway, their career path is actually very similar to a band that nobody really would probably ever do on this podcast. That's Chumbawamba. What I mean by that is that they both started out as a band wherever they were from who was like actually pretty respected. Chumbawamba in England was like known as like a fairly good band, and then Tub Thumping hits. And just like in this case, Knock on Wood or whatever that song is called, where they sort of like made their play into the mainstream. And then they sort of become a joke to people. Now, the difference is that I think that there's a lot more Mighty Mighty Boss Tones fans that stayed after they quote unquote sold out or whatever. Anyway, I mean, this is just, you know, this is like so few people that listen to the podcast are probably going to ever even have heard of the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. Like, if someone's like 20 to 25 years old, there's really no reason, unless they've gone back in time with punk rock and for some reason, instead of listening to something good, they've gone to this garbage. But, you know, it's just bad, meat-headed, ska punk. Anyway, all right. Love you. Bye.
Love you, Jerry. I love
so
how
John,
you fizzled that one out. All right.
Now, according to Jared, you voted for Trump. Your thoughts?
That was the only thing he got wrong in the whole thing.
I think that Jared Bear made a lot of good points.
I agree.
Although, my girlfriend's 13 and she loved this. Yeah. No. Yeah, I think he's right that it's not necessarily relevant to, like,
oh, yeah,
younger people, because it did have that moment. But I do think that if you played that song for people, they would recognize it.
What year did it come out? Do we know?
I think 99.
That was the impression that I got.
Or no, 97.
I think it was earlier than that.
96, 97.
Now, back in 94, they called me Chaitan's Nas.
Yeah.
Just as a frame of reference.
I do think that he's wrong in that, even though it's not like culturally relevant, I do think a lot of young people know it because of... Because it's a punchline at this point. Like, I think it's got a cultural enough touchstone as being a universally derided thing that people will know what it is.
What was the joke that someone commented on the Facebook that was in a show I like? Someone saying,
oh,
they're go
Bojack
see
Horseman.
Bojack Horseman. Yeah, yeah, joke. Yeah. Like, I'm going to go see the Stones.
Yeah. I'm going to see the Stones this weekend. Want to go? You have tickets to the Rolling Stones? No, the Mighty Mighty Boss Stones.
And that's Paul Tompkins' character.
That's so funny.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I have to imagine it is. That's so funny. That show's great. Check out Bojack Horseman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm behind this season.
I like Bojack Horseman.
Also, check out Search Party. I just started the second season.
I just finished the second season today.
Do you like it?
That was great.
Perfect. I just finished the second episode and I'm into it. It's our friend John Reynolds, John Hurley.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Aaliyah
Shawkat. Queen. A lot of comedians from New York pop up in this
season. Yeah. Inoue, Charles Gould was
Ryan
in the
Bennett.
First season.
Patty Harrison is great. A lot of a lot
Check
of New York
out.
Comedians
it's
are in it. Yeah.
So good. It's very fucking good. I think it's like it's up there with Stranger Things as like my favorite show from last season. So I'm excited to see
what
they do this season. Yeah, I'm looking at the Facebook thread right now. People are saying Ska's not dead. Brett Goldman says they've never been tested. That's why he doesn't like them.
Well, he's not
a
coward.
Good. That's true.
Let's see. You went way back. Somebody's mad.
I feel like a lot of the comments were more a referendum on Ska as a genre. And
sure.
Not
that'll
like,
happen, yeah. Well, a lot of people don't understand the Facebook posts.
Nope. Bobby Buds wrote that we should just do an episode about ska, which I fucking disagree with.
Absolutely.
It like honestly annoys me when people say that, because I'm like, you're going to find good. Like, there's ska that people like.
Mm-hmm.
Even people who hate ska would be like, that's good.
Yeah.
You
like
know?
What, though?
I mean, maybe the impression.
Like this,
that I get,
the impression
I
get it, I feel like is the most popular ska song ever.
Yeah, maybe that's true.
Probably,
but I bet
probably,
you there's some weird indie ska that we haven't heard. Yeah. Like it's like deep cut shit. It's not popular because that's what happened with what's the shit that with dubstep,
mm-hmm.
where all of a sudden Cam's showing us shit where it's like there's this British shit that actually is really good, and I was like, I like this. I just don't like most.
Yeah.
I don't like popular dubstep.
I think a lot of genres you could be like, there's the British version of it that's actually quite good.
Sure.
I was about to say the same thing about ska.
Uh-huh.
But I think most ska that's popular in the U.S. are covers.
Like
say Ferris's Come on Eileen.
Is Come on Eileen? Like, what is the most popular ska song ever?
It's probably between those two.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe Real Big Fish when they did Take on Me. I think that was a big cover.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it seems like most people on this thing don't have a lot of strong feelings about this band specifically.
Yeah.
It's
pretty safe.
Tom and I just listened to the the first ever John Worster Best Show call. Have you ever heard that? The Rock Round Rule call?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so funny.
John Worster keeps saying in his character that the band Madness from the 80s invented ska. And people keep calling, being so mad. They're like, he doesn't know his history because ska has been around since the 60s.
And he's like, I just disagree with that.
They're getting so mad.
It's so funny.
So check that out because it's the funniest thing in the world.
Very funny. Yeah. It's on vinyl. They have it a lot. I've seen it at a lot of record stores, actually, but...
Check out the best show.
They're doing good work
it's
over
the funniest
there.
Thing. My favorite thing.
Let's listen to some of the playlist.
Okay.
The first song on here is a song called 128.
This is how Betsy DeVos counts.
You don't like this country, Tommy. Get out.
Country Tommy is my character. The Wizard of Cowboy Hat. Something brand new up in a blue machine. Brass bags don't take for the great escape. Back in there like Sunday. Back at home, he's done. That song sucks.
Look. All right.
Look.
It's about something.
What's it about? Tell us what it's about.
Honestly, it's about
about a personal
how
tragedy
frustrated
that
they are that they weren't recognized as like the faces of like the ska movement when it was coming forward. So it's just this is true. It's just like people keep trying to like replicate our formula, and they're not successful. Maybe it's because we're good at it, and it's just like
ooh, I like that as a good thing. It really just sounds like to
it's
me.
It's bad.
It's like it's just his voice. I know that that's like the main argument against him.
Yeah, yeah.
But it really is like Christian Bale's Batman voice over trumpets.
Isn't he the stage announcer for is it Kimmel?
Is he?
I believe he might be.
The guy
be.
From the Mighty Mighty Boston?
I believe so.
What?
He's just like, here's what's going on in healthcare tonight.
Or maybe Seth Meyers, I'm not sure, but like one of the late night talk shows, he's like their
that's crazy.
Their
his name's Dickie,
Andy,
right?
Yeah, Dickie Barrett.
Okay.
Dickie, how do you spell Bear?
B-A-R-R-E-T-T.
Barrett,
oh,
not
Barrett.
Dickie
how do you
Bear.
Spell Bear? No, I was talking about the animal. I just am. I'm taking an online quiz right now to get my GED. And let's see, Dickie Barrett. That's how bored I am by this podcast now. I'm working on getting that GED, baby.
You know that Kanye line? Like, yeah, I got a PhD, pretty huge dick.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I got a GED. Gross.
Good enough dick.
Good enough dick. Oh, beautiful, beautiful.
That's great. Nobody's going to top
not
that.
Better than what I
that dick, I mean. Damn. This is perfect podcasting. The mic popped right when I said that. So perfect. All right, it's Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Yeah.
That's all we need to know from it. I forgot to read this this criticism of them.
I don't have healthcare. I've just never been tested.
Who's that celebrity? Like, was it like Rock Hudson or somebody who like had AIDS and gave it to people because he never got tested? He just wouldn't tell women that.
I believe that's true.
Yeah, fuck you, Rock. I don't like the Rock.
Gay man.
This is you dead gay man. He would bang all sexes, I think. All right, so this is from Disconnect the Blog. This is a WordPress.
This is how you know it's a good source.
It says, I've been cheating on myself with another blog project. Wait, actually, you know what?
Are you saying the WordPress isn't a good source?
Yeah, this might not be that good. But it's an article called The Mighty Boss Tones Suck. So let's see. At the very least, this person doesn't have a problem. What the hell is this? I'm sorry, guys. This is not what I wanted it to be. I thought that he would have something to say about the Mighty Mighty Bosstones, but mostly he seems to be arguing about people who have given him shit about his own blog. Yeah, that's 100% of this, so I'm going to move on.
That's so funny. That's like when I found the one guy on the Honda website.
I mean, there are definitely people who hate them, but... Oh,
for sure.
Let's look at the Urban Dictionary definition for the Mighty Mighty Bosstones. Wait. Oh, this is somebody defending them. A band that began the genre of ska-core... Excellent band. Most people just suck too much dick to realize how amazing they are.
Now he's got a point.
But for some reason, they still rock out to Linkin Park. That's their big battle.
What a hill to die on.
God, ska-core. Yeah, what a bad word.
Ska-core, and you're like homophobic too. Yeah. It's like, oh, you guys like suck too much dick to like... Oh, so you're getting your butthole too loaded up all the time to enjoy ska core. All right. Let's listen to the next song here. All it's right. A little skidoody called...
skidoody?
I got sick of saying diddy, so I like skidoody.
No one skididdy. Was making you say diddy.
P was when he... when he yeah, he changed his name. This is Toxic Toast.
Yeah, this song makes me laugh so hard. Toxic Toast.
Kingsbury on number 8. Hotel Punk Rock Estate. Way, way back in the day. 100 years, it seems that way. From Wayne's junk store, 3 floors up and straight ahead. If someone thought to lock the door, use a fire escape instead. Someone's always up to something. One thing's always understood. If nothing happened in a minute, well, another something would avoid the landlord, spend the rent, raising hell with reckless stuff. And so our time was poorly spent. But Toxic Toast still makes me smile. Broken by now. That's all.
Most joyless, yeah. I guess, has ever looked while listening to the music that they
pick. I was just thinking a lot about it. Because, I mean, a lot of these songs I like a lot because I think they tell fun stories. Okay. And I think a lot of people put, I mean, there's only so much you can do with ska as a genre.
Not Scott Core.
Oh, look, they have that word in 3 of their album titles.
No.
Yeah, there's a Scott Core, The Devil and More, and then 2 other ones God. That I can't remember.
Bad to the Scott Core.
The Scott Core before Christmas.
Yeah, you know, like a lot of their songs are about something, which I think was not something else that was happening in ska a lot. A lot of that stuff is very fluffy. And they actually wrote songs about things. And
so, like, what is Toxic Toast about?
It's about when they were all living, in really shitty, like one. All of them lived together in one really shitty apartment building in Boston, Queensbury, I believe, is the neighborhood. And I guess Toxic Toast is a reference to the fact that they like couldn't even afford a toaster, so they just had to keep throwing things in their oven, and like that's how they made their toast.
So it was
morning.
Like gas oven toast.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. My favorite part, though, if we can fast forward to the end of it, there's a. It might be coming up in a second. There's a weird piano solo at the end of this, but they changed the sound of the piano halfway through the song. Like, at the beginning, it's clearly, like, a Casio keyboard, and then by the end, they've figured out how to, like, make it sound like a piano.
Oh, my God.
And the piano, one of the reasons it's my favorite song is the piano solo at the end of it, to me, sounds like what it would sound like if you actually turned the volume up on one of those keyboards when they do, like, the videos where they're just, like smacking the hat. Also, I love that he says whoops at the end, because I really think that they recorded that in one take. And that he was like, oh shit, I'm sorry, I made it sound different halfway through.
I love when people do that. When people are like, oh shit. Like, what's the? I think there's like a Ben Folds song where at the end he's like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
I love that. The next song is called Someday, I Suppose.
This is like one of their, second biggest hit.
Yeah, this was the other one that I knew.
So what is this in? Do you know?
This is in Clueless.
This they play.
This is in Clueless. This is off Scott Core, the Devil. What a terrible thing.
Yeah. The world is a sky core. That I was gonna write a havoc yet, but there's still a chance I'm not an open book. That I still wanna close, I'll find the time. Someday I'm supposed to place some time. I wanna be and spend a storyline that's happy in the end. Plan to make a promise is certainly absurd. I can make a certain speak.
If you think about it, that song is just the same as John Mayer's "Waiting on the World to Change." Someday, I suppose.
Yeah, pretty
Father
much.
Be good to your daughters.
Daughters don't turn out like you do.
I'm gonna run through the halls of my high school.
No, you're saying in the real world.
I don't like Kumail.
I think he's a terrorist. He talked funny.
What was that
story? He talked really funny.
There was a John Mayer Kumail beef. That
We're definitely going to talk about that on the John Mayer sick. Episode.
It wasn't that good.
The ending wasn't that good.
What it should. Yeah. Why is he with a white girl?
Boy, a lot of think pieces on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... That the beef between Kumail and John Mayer is that John Mayer came up on a show that Kumail, he like bumped a bunch of comics, I believe, and I don't know if this was at the Cellar, it was in some, it might have been UCB or something, but he goes up and he's bombing John Mayer because he's not funny, and so then
his Twitter, you have to see it.
What if he got a writing job? He just starts working for like the new Wyatt
like Katie Nolan.
Show. Garbage Time with Katie Nolan, written by John Mayer. From what I remember is he's bombing. Then he goes, "Oh, I get it. You guys just want to hear me play music." And then he plays like a couple songs. Then Kumail goes on after him. And goes, John Mayer was just like, you just want to hear me play music? Can't it be neither? Like he says, can't it be neither, which is very funny and true. I mean, that's what it was. And then Mayer comes on stage and is like, you're brown, but you don't talk like you are, or something. It's something along the lines of like, you don't talk like an Indian person, or not Indian.
So defend that, Johnny.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
He don't. Boy, don't talk right.
Fine.
Boy, don't talk like he look. Let's listen to the impression that I get.
Yeah.
We are running out of time. This is the hit. This is what you will remember. Fucking idiots.
No, well, I never
people know the song.
Great mm-hmm. song.
That's a great song.
It's a very
still
good
great.
Song.
Holds up.
I think that the last song is my favorite song on this list.
Ooh.
Yeah, and then this is number two probably. I like this one though. This is a fun mm-hmm. song. I mean, it's catchy as hell.
It's catchy. It'll get in your head. You
do not count.
How do you think this compares as number two to the Austin Powers character number two?
Oh, number two is number one, as far as I'm concerned.
I did read your review on RogerEbert.com. Number two is number one.
Number two. All right.
That's one of Beatles my favorite song number scenes. Two.
So dumb.
But the Beatles album one, number 12 on my best of. The next song is called 737/Shoe Glue.
This is like a shoe diet.
I don't like it.
That's fine.
How does this feel the exact same?
Well, you literally did just skip to the exact point one verse later. Okay, so I have no evidence for this, but can I tell you my theory about
Please.
This? Is that, so that was a song that they used to play live all the time, those two songs back to back, and I'm convinced that they could not figure out how to separate them two because they're just so used to just rolling straight from one to the other. They're like, let's just record it all both as one song. And they don't know how to do it otherwise.
All right, that was 737, mm-hmm. and this is the final song on the Mighty Mighty Boss Stones playlist presented to you by John Rosenberg.
Mm-hmm. Did he sponsor it?
I did.
Yeah.
I've been single-handedly keeping this band afloat for years.
Presented to you by that and outer layer socks. All right. This is the Rascal King.
What he was killed by a lack through inspiration from it made so many problems to crack. And miles to fade. Crooked was the path, and brazen was the walk. A cocky swagger up the ladder. Could he ever talk? Last around, I do it again. The Rascal King behind the bars of the money.
That's the Rascal King.
Mm-hmm. I almost left that one off.
That's really? What I call our. Yeah. Moron in chief.
He is a rascal. Always trying to keep
mm-hmm.
immigrants out of the country and kick them out. Good well, people.
It is about like a. I guess Boston at one point had like a really racist mayor, and that's what that song's about.
Ah, interesting.
Okay. Then.
That was a fun song.
That's our official stance on racism here.
Okay. Okay, then.
All right. You got it your little cool opinion. That
Did you guys know that they made a movie about these guys called Dickie Barrett, former child star?
That is a reference I wish I had thought.
So stupid. That movie sucks.
Let's call a spade a spade.
That's what they said when they were naming David Spade. All right, that is the playlist. I'm gonna go ahead and tell you I'm gonna give it a 3 because
wow, that's a lot higher than I was.
You really? Because I do like. I'm gonna go three because let me tell you why. I did like it, the impression that I get a lot, and I like Someday, I suppose, even more.
Mm-hmm.
And the other four, approximately have earned 1 point all on their own, all combined, because there's a lot I don't enjoy. I think it is just that dude's voice is kind of unbearable sometimes, and it might just be that this music isn't for me. It might be Sky Core heads, Sky Corons would love this, but since it's not my style, it's hard for me to judge. I don't like Toxic Toast, and hearing that oven story just pissed me off even more.
The only oven story he likes is Sylvia Plath's.
One less broad mucking things up.
One less lonely girl.
All right, that's my call. What do you say there?
I'm gonna go 2-5.
Okay.
Impression that I get in someday, I suppose, are the one. Mm-hmm. I like both the songs a lot. And 0.5 for the last one. That was kind of fun. Yeah. The other ones were reprehensible.
What's funny is on the last podcast, I docked a point because of Chris Brown's actions. And that still is more than
Johnny, what do you rate?
I'm going to give it a 5-5.
That's nice.
That's good.
I do agree that Dickie Barrett's voice is a bit of a barrier, especially in the earlier years. Someday, I suppose, and Rascal King are both off the same album.
Uh-huh.
And it feels like somebody was like, if you want to sell a record, just how about cool it with that raspy shit for
a little while.
So he's trying to sing a little smoother. So
I'm not against talk singing in general.
Sure.
It's more the like growling.
Mm-hmm. Growling, yeah. I'm anti.
Because I like Cake. Yeah. I like Hold Steady. And yeah. They talk.
There's a lot of good. Yeah. I like a talk.
Yeah.
let's have the talk. John, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me.
We got to wrap this thing up, unfortunately. But definitely check out our sponsor this week. And where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at JonJonPhenom Instagram at JonJonsAPhenomenon, and I guess on Facebook at John Rosenberger. I'll take more friends. Yeah, who cares?
Hell yeah. Me and Tommy are going to have a show at Caroline's on Broadway. I don't know if this will be out in time, probably. December 21st, 9:30 p.m. Great lineup. Check it out, carolines.com. I'll be at the Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana, December 22nd, 23rd, and Tommy will be there the next week.
Yes, queen.
Yeah, besides that, check out Tommy doing his breakout series at Caroline's in March.
March
14th. Mark it in your calendars, you dumb pieces of shit. Keep it crispy. Domestic violence is wrong. Thanks, bye.